Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you for being with us, anointing us, giving us wisdom. And Lord, you are showing us so many wonderful things in these days and greater things to come. We praise you and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, saints, I'm going to continue with walking in the man-child steps. This would be part three. And great revelations have been coming to us about the things that are coming. We have great confidence. The Lord confirms everything that He gives us. This first revelation Merlene Laughlin had on the 1st of this September of 2019, and she called it Chrysanthemum Computer, and it's awesome. It fits with other dreams that we've had. But I'm going to back up just a little bit. Perhaps you remember in part two in Eve's dream of this series that the faction was likened by the Lord to a T-Rex or a dragon. And yes, we've said for a long time that they are members of the dragon seeking to devour the man-child. And of course, in that dream, they were seeking to stop the revival that was going to start in Zion, representing the bride. And this was just as the dragon tried to devour the man-child and then the bride in Revelation 12, but God's angels cast him down by the faith of the saints. And anyway, the next scene in Eve's dream was of a circle of hornets around the bride, whose old woman was cutting the grass, representing the crucified life, cutting off the flesh, right? This put in fear the faction demons, because they know if you're doing that, they lose power. Our Father crushed the circle of hornets' nests around the bride, killing some of them. And in Merlene's dream, which I'm fixing to share with you, the circle of hornets' plan is shown as a circle of slander that they plan to put out on the internet. Back in Eve's dream, in the next scene, the faction seen as Nazis plan was uncovered by the bride as a war trench that they had been hiding in order to war against myself and local UBM. They had just abandoned it because their plan had been uncovered and they were crushed in the first scene. In doing so, the bride uncovered two captives that were set free in that dream not long after that, and that was set free to rejoin us. And not long after that, this came to pass perfectly. They were encircled, literally, by factious people. And it was fulfilled perfectly. He squashed that, and that was the end of that. That's not the end of the squashing. There's much more out there that's going to go on. But in this dream of Merlene's, the circle of hornets had a plan, and we'll share it with you. And again, we had this back on the 1st. She said, in a dream, I was sitting on the edge of an office chair behind a desk. I'm not sure where I was. Before me was an unusual-looking, all-red object about 18 inches high. I believe red here identifies the Edomites, who hated their chosen brother, but were destroyed by God through the David man-childs, just as in history. As you know, history always repeats, except on a larger scale. It had a round base of about 10 inches in diameter. A stem from the base rose up, and sitting on the stem was the head of a flower facing forward. It was a bright red molded plastic chrysanthemum with the petals closed. She showed us the petals, how that there was a little hinge on the very tip of the petals, and it opened up a window to look into the petal. Interesting. We got a picture of it on the text. And the reason it's plastic is because it is, and a flower, is because it's seductive and it's fake. It's fake Christianity, hiding its true nature, as we're going to see. You know, all the enemies of God have to masquerade as Christians. And the demons even make them think that they are Christians. But, you know, if you've got hatred and faction and witchcraft and all these unforgiveness, you're not forgiven. So you're not Christian, no matter what you think. All of a sudden, a woman was standing on my left with her right arm extended, showing two jeweled bracelets, one blue and one turquoise. And then I knew it was a factious woman that we know, and gave her half of a glance. We know this woman who left us in anger because we refused her faction and witchcraft, basically. And Merlin went on to say she was about to show me what the flower would do. This was an enemy plan. Okay, what this flower would do. She took hold of the left petal from the center and opened it on its little hinge, revealing very small print on a petal-shaped screen. Then she raised the center top petal and brought it out, and then she opened up a petal on the right side. No words were spoken. Well, this is their circle of slander, just like in Eve's dream. And it revealed on computer screens, like the hornet's circle in Eve's dream, to deceive others away from the gospel. That's the plan. And then I saw, she said, in each of the petals, three different online sites that were open. Then I knew that all of the petals had a different site. And when she opened all of the petals, it made a round computer screen. And then I woke up. Well, let me say that their leader is a computer techie, whom we have seen in a dream as a huge demon sitting behind a computer, hacking into computers and phones, which he did. And we also saw him saying that his priority was to destroy David and UBM. And he was stalking our sisters by hacking their phones. And we have proof of this. And, you know, his perversions are known by our whole assembly, who had dreams about him assaulting our women. This is what started the whole thing, is we forbid it. And, of course, he got mad. And this is what happened. He even gave a real bragging confession to our brethren about his horrendous sins. We know him, and we know most of his conspirators. And we have our own declassification that is coming. And just like the one in the government. And I'll just say this, that by law, as a trustee of our UBM trust, and we formed it this way because we did not want to be under a 501c3 and ruled what we could say by the government. And it's worked very, very well. But it's kind of put me in a position of authority as the trustee, and there are certain rules in order to keep this form of government. And according to the law, I had to reveal, you know, thefts and destructions to property of people who are against our trust to the FBI, which I did. I wouldn't have done it, except that was pointed out to me. Normally, I just turn the other cheek, but God had a plan that was beyond my plan. If you remember, Paul, when there was a conspiracy against him, sent his nephew to talk to the captain there, and that was thwarted. So, you know, and he appealed to Caesar too. So there was places in the scripture where God did such a thing as this. Anyway, I was taught by them how to collect information. And when I sent the, you know, thing to the FBI, I held back some key information that would be revealed as God's timing wills. And we have been told of the Lord that I and UBM are running parallel to President Trump and his patriots. And it's interesting, you know, we never planned that we would be running parallel to them, but it has definitely worked out that way. It's amazing. After this whole thing is over, I can show you some awesome things. Anyway, the president and government has been trickling info out of the factious deep state crimes. The thing is, if President Trump dumped all of the info all the way to the top, the war would be premature, and he knows it. I'm talking about the war between the deep state and the patriots, as they call themselves. It would be premature. And it would be more bloody than it's going to be, I think. But anyway, but the guys at the top who are in fear on the government deep state side are willing to sacrifice the lower echelons. They'll let them take them down as much as they want, because that's not really, there's no honor among thieves, you know. So they're permitting this. They're afraid to do anything else. They're permitting this. But God also has been trickling out the crimes of our faction. Our dreams have names in them, which we have not given. In other words, there's a declassification that can come unless there's repentance. Absolutely. We know about their fornications. We know about their bisexual cult. We know about their thefts, their stalkings. And now they don't have sense enough to know that slander is against the law, federal law, and when it's put on the internet, and so on. So here we go again. They just keep getting in deeper and deeper, just like the deep state. We know another parallel is going to happen, and is happening already. First of all, they will all turn against each other. And just like the criminals in the deep state are doing, they're going to tattle on each other. You know, the enemies that came against Israel fought each other and killed each other off and left them alone. The two people that were, you know, held trapped in the trench, their enemies began to fight against one another until they left them alone. It was amazing, which is exactly what the Bible says will happen, and it's what we prayed would happen, and it did. Now, here's the thing. You know, we report on these things so you can pray and you can do spiritual warfare. What we would like everyone to do for these people, I'm talking about the factious people that are in bondage, is to pray for the elect among them to see what they have done at the instigation of demons and repent and turn back to the Lord. You see, we love the people, but their demons of faction and slander and witchcraft are the real enemy. So anyway, I'm moving on. We're going back to Merlene's revelation here. She said, I received for this dream by faith at random, Ephesians 5 and 5. For this you know of a surety, that no fornicator, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, that's somebody who desires something that doesn't belong to them, right, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So you see how important it is for us to reach through, do spiritual warfare for these people and set them free, right? Let no man deceive you with empty words. That's exactly what they do, empty words, because they're false. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. And then Merlene did this neat drawing of the chrysanthemum computer. It's pretty neat. And it's just showing their plan, you know. Then we got this on the 16th. Excuse me. Maybe it was 8:16. Yeah. And this was given to Eve. We called it Man, Child, and Bride Sanctified for the Wilderness. Right. I dreamed that local UBM was busy cleaning up and preparing to leave a two-story timeshare cabin. It was set on top of a steep hill and surrounded by evergreen trees, she says, representing eternal life. It had a steep red clay and gravel horseshoe-shaped driveway that led up from the main road and around in front of the large deck porch in front of the cabin, and then back down again to the road. There was a very large garage on the right of the cabin. It was getting late, and the sun was starting to go down. And her note is that timeshare cabin represents our tabernacle that we share with the Lord. And I've added where we have been tested in our wilderness experience. She went on to say, it's getting late and we must work while it is day. John 9 and 4. We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Amen. So Eve went on to say, we had spent a three-day weekend there, and our time was up. So we were cleaning it very well and preparing to leave. And her note is, the time is up for our flesh nature to rule our tabernacle. Amen. We must clean it up so that the co-owners, representing the Father and Son, can have it for their use. And I've added, for others to come in the tribulation. In other words, this same sequence of events that we've gone through to clean us up, the church is about to go through to clean them up. Okay. And the verse she gives is 1 Corinthians 13:9-12. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I felt as a child, I thought as a child, and now I am become a man, I have put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known. She goes on to say, David and Michael were sitting in two lawn chairs resting on the front porch, while everyone was cleaning and preparing to leave. And my thought is, it's speaking about resting from man's works and cleaning the house. Is really the death, burial stage of this three-stage or three-day get-together, right? And the end of this is resurrection on the third day. David had on a white shirt and Michael had on a blue shirt. The 3 days represent death, burial, and resurrection. Also, these last 3,000 years / days since Christ came the first time. Also, the leadership teaches us about holiness and being in the rest. That was Eve's note. And I say that this is so because after the third day resurrection, the man-child at the end of this dream is caught up to the throne and the tribulation recreational vehicle is given to the bride. Yeah, well, we'll get there when we get there, but that's this revelation of the 3 days being the 3 days of our steps of death, burial, and resurrection. It's very clear in the text when you get through reading it. So I was upstairs in one of the rooms to the right of the staircase with several other ladies who were packing up their things and their bedding and were all cleaning up their house, right? Remember in the last revelation, the grass had to be cut before the end of the faction would be taken down and them going into the wilderness. Okay? So that was Eve's dream. And this one is once again confirming that. There was one toilet in the room that was just out in the open, and there was no privacy at all. When we had to use it, I had to use the toilet in front of everyone. And, of course, this has a spiritual meaning, and it means getting rid of the waste of the old life, which is really nothing to hide. I mean, Christians don't do it. They confess their sins one to another. Confession is good for transparency, isn't it? Yeah. So that's what this is symbolizing. Then I was busy cleaning up everything that the others had left undone because they had reasoned that they had done enough cleaning and had done their fair share, and for time's sake they wanted to focus on packing their stuff. But I knew the standards of those who co-owned the timeshare property with us. Well, the owners are the Father and the Son, and we are joint heirs, aren't we? Yes. And so I was staying behind to finish up the cleaning. I felt the pressure of time slipping away, having to do with the extra cleaning and not having the time I needed to pack any of my own belongings. But I knew that David wanted everything very clean before we left for the co-owners' sake. Amen. They want everything clean too. They want your house clean. They want your grass cut too. And I knew that this was the most important thing. Yes, it is. It is the most important thing. The key to everything in that last revelation was cutting the grass, which has been happening over here, and wonderful things are happening. I got to tell you, God is making some good moves on people. So anyway, the point is trash and filth must be removed from the wilderness house before moving to the promised land of milk and honey, right? The grass or the flesh must be cut before we move on. And this, by the way, destroyed the power of the hornets in Eve's dream and the Nazis in her dream. Everyone was starting to get into their packed up vehicles and were leaving. I went downstairs and opened the door that led into the large garage. And I saw a brand new recreational vehicle that belonged to UBM. And I think this represents the Wilderness Tribulation recreational vehicle for those who have cleaned their house and are chosen to be in the bride. Because we know the bride is going to go through the tribulation in the king's house. Yep. And I saw amber. Now this is interesting, because amber is literally a bride about to be married. I saw amber carrying a new casserole dish wrapped in a white grocery sack, getting ready to step up into the recreational vehicle. I saw something that looked like an ATM attached to the right rear side of the recreational vehicle. So what can we gain from this? I'd say that the bride could draw out what is needed from her stores in heavenly places for the wilderness tribulation. And this is going to happen. The man, child, and bride are going to provide a place for God's people. I'm talking about a heavenly place for God's people in the tribulation, just as Revelation 12 points out. It had a video screen with privacy panels all around it. I walked up to it and looked at the video screen. There was a picture of David Eales and several other brethren on the screen. It was like a professional promotion picture of them all standing together smiling, and it said Unleavened Bread Ministries at the bottom of the picture. I clicked the play button, but a message came up with a white screen that said no internet service. So I asked Amber about it, and she said, yep, it won't play because there's no internet up here. You know, it might be a great blessing to some of you to know there'll be times in the wilderness tribulation that there won't be any internet available to you. But here's the point. The ATM can only pay out when we have finished the 3 days of death, burial, and resurrection. Then the bride's reward is going to come. So she said, I knew that Brandy and Amber, Don and Marlene, and Denny and Debbie, representing those in the family circle of the bride, were staying in the recreational vehicle. And when I stepped back from the recreational vehicle, I had an open vision of two large black and white calendar pages of September and October side by side. They were marked in red from mid-September to mid-October. And I knew that this meant that we would be receiving the recreational vehicle during this time period. And I don't know if I dreamed this because I heard it mentioned or because the Lord is confirming this time frame for the recreational vehicle. So let me say that by cutting the grass or crucifying the flesh, we are getting recreational vehicle prepared for the coming wilderness. Wouldn't you rather go there in a recreational vehicle? It's not like the Ten Commandments, you know, they all piled in a cart. Some toothless people. Of course, The truth is, they went into the wilderness. There wasn't one feeble one among them, but you couldn't tell that from the Ten Commandments. So anyway. Then I went back upstairs and started trying to pack some of my things. But I didn't seem to know where to start because I had stuff all throughout the house and didn't know what I should pack and take with me. I ended up with 3 Ziploc bags. One had a pair of sunglasses in it, and another had some food, and I can't remember what was in the third bag. So my thought came to me, we've already had dreams like this about packing light going into the wilderness. Where did their supply come from in the wilderness? Out of heaven, right? So we can pack light. There will be no needs in the big house, Zion. You can't pack it all into the wilderness, wherever need is supplied anyway. And she said, we came upon a small pile of dead branches, and I asked Lexi if she would take it down to the curb for the trash men to pick up, but she didn't want to do the task because she was concerned about leaving her mother. So I picked up the pile of branches and walked them down to the road. Lexi may be a representation of our little sister, like in Song of Solomon, who is not yet ready to deal with the dead branches and leave her mother, possibly representing the church. As I was walking in the short distance to the other side of the driveway to go back up to the cabin, I looked behind me and I saw an SUV loaded down with furniture and suitcases pulling out of the driveway and heading down the main road. And I thought to myself, well, that's everybody. And then Michael stood up on the front deck and said the same thing. Well, that's everybody. And he went and got in his blue truck and also headed out. It really sounds like two witnesses here, right? That all of the elect are going to their promised land. They're all getting in their RV, right? Anyway, she said, I began climbing the steep red clay. You know, clay is what the old man is made out of, red. And red here, I believe, represents Esau. And the gravel driveway back up to the cabin. But as I got 2/3 of the way up, I had to crawl on all fours because the driveway was so steep. I was sliding a little bit as I struggled to make it to the top. This represents not only our flesh that we must overcome, but also the factious Esau's that resist and fight us in our trials to overcome. Like in Debbie Finsky's dream of having trouble climbing over the boulders to catch up with David. But all that's part of it. Overcoming is part of it. Every muscle that you exercise gets stronger, right? And we're learning spiritual warfare, and we're learning that definitely you prosper as you cut the grass, and all these things. It's good. It's been good. When I was almost to the top, I saw David's shadow. I wonder if this might not represent the spiritual man. I saw David's shadow against the front wall of the cabin. Since the sun was going down, it shone a bright golden light on David and the front of the cabin and deck. He had stood up from his chair, but I couldn't see him from my angle, only his shadow. That was being cast upon the front of the cabin. I could tell he had a short beard. Well, my thought was this represents Jesus manifested in the David man-child reformers, as we're going to see when they're caught up to the throne. Okay? Because she said, When I finally got to the top of the driveway, David had disappeared from the property. I had a vision in the dream as I was still climbing the steep driveway that he was translated straight up into the sky. In the vision, he turned transparent white and shot up into the sky out of my sight like a missile was launched from the front deck of the cabin. Well, the David Manchild Company, or Reformers, purified and caught up to the throne, overcoming all efforts of the dragon to destroy him, after the third day resurrection. Pretty neat, huh? The story is there, isn't it? Yep, and as we know, the dragon has been seeking to devour the man-child. But it's all going to be a failure, as we know. And 1 Peter 2 and 7 says, "For you therefore that believe is the preciousness." That sounds like a good reward, right? "But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner." Joseph's brothers hated him, cast him in prison, but he became their head by a miracle of God. He was resurrected out of the prison like Jesus came up out of the dead, from among the dead, right? Amen. And then she said, "I woke up. And I asked Father for a word by faith at random in the concordance for this dream. My finger landed in between two verses under the word precious." Wow. And the first was Psalm 116 and 15. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So death, the death of self, prepares us for resurrection life, to follow in the steps of the man-child Jesus. And I got to say, being caught up to the throne has everything to do with receiving the authority that Jesus has. It's not so much a physical thing as it is a spiritual thing. That's why I believe David was seen here in the spirit. Because great authority is going to be given to the Davids. You know, when David was crowned, he took Jerusalem and he conquered the Edomites. So history will repeat. It will. And the other was Psalm 126, 6, and 1 through 6 in context. This is the same verse that Eve got in her previous dream when we spoke of connecting the dreams. Two witnesses' confirmation. And it's about the return to Zion, the bride's place, and a great time of joy and provision. You remember in an earlier time in the morning meeting the day before, I had pointed to this text as something that the Lord showed me was going to be true for us too. And what I remembered in my mind was watching the videos of the Jews when they came in and conquered the old city of Jerusalem and took it back from the Arabs. And there was rejoicing. I mean, leaping and joy and shouting and, oh, it was just awesome. So here's the text. When the Lord bragged, and again, this was by faith at random that she got this, and she got it in the previous dream too, by faith at random. When Jehovah brought back those that returned to Zion, we were like unto them that dream. It's going to be a wonderful experience for the people of God, right? Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth in weeping, beareth seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with joy, singing, or bringing, his sheaves with him. Bringing his sheaves with him. Praise be to God. So there's a great time of blessing coming for the bride, of provision coming for the bride, great rejoicing because the enemies have been taken out of the land, right? We've shown verses concerning that. The Korah rebellion we received this morning was over when Korah and other rebels were cleaned out of the people of God when they stood up against Moses, and God opened the earth and swallowed them alive. And of course, the body was cleansed of these rebels that had been giving them so much trouble. It was cleansed. We look back on this time and see it as something very advantageous. It has cleaned us up. It has taken out the rebels. It has cleaned us up. It's a blessing. And let me tell you what is coming. The deep state, I believe, is still going to do a false flag attack against America. And God's going to divert it, like he did, by the way, when the Israelites were leaving Egypt to take out the Egyptians. And the apostate leadership being destroyed of Christianity is there. The apostate leadership of the faction destroyed. We see all these things in the pictures that the Lord's been giving us in the morning meetings time after time after time. There's no doubt about it. There's two things fixing to happen. Faction's going down and the bride's going up. Oh, this next one was given to Sandy Shaw on September the 8th, and we called it God Stacks the Deck, We Win. Well, you know what stacking the deck is, right? Stacking the card deck so that you get the advantage, right? So Sandy got this revelation, and it's hilarious. But it is so true. In a dream, all of UBM were surrounded by cowboys in complete attire, as in the Western movies. They had us surrounded in a saloon, and they thought they were deciding our fate. Thought they is something I added in because I read the rest of it. They thought that they were deciding our fate. They were very confident. I can tell you from the very beginning, the demons in the faction make them very confident. They don't have sense enough. Look at what's happening in the deep state. They are so cocky and so confident, even all the way back to Hillary, who thought for sure she was going to be president, and back to Obama, who didn't bother to fill the court vacancies because he just knew that they were cheating and that Hillary was going in there. They were confident. It had always worked before. Why not this time? But those demons make them very confident. It always leads them into trouble, but they got that confidence, right? So here they are. They're deciding our fate. I was sitting in my wheelchair hiding in the crowd. We could hear two cowboys talking, and one said, "Are we going to give them a chance?" And the other one said, "Yes, you go get my stacked cards." Well, haven't you heard cheaters never win? not ultimately. That cowboy was looking at us up and down, and he walked through our midst, and then he pointed his finger at me and said that I was going to play poker with him because I was handicapped. So God's power is made perfect in our weakness, right? And then, and when the odds seem to be against you, they are actually in your favor, which means that God is the one that really stacks the deck, right? There was a big round poker table. Jeff was on one side of me and David on the other. I didn't want to play. He started shuffling the cards and said, "We're going to play several hands, and then when you lose, we will decide your fate." He said, "We're going to play three-card poker." He shuffled the deck again and dealt out three cards each. I looked at my three cards, and it was two aces and a two. He flipped his over really fast and was happy because he thought he won. He had two kings and a jack and lost. He shuffled the cards again and gave us three cards again. He had a flush, a two, a four, and a six. I was hesitant to look at my cards, and when I flipped them, I had a higher flush, a seven, a nine, and a ten, so he lost. He shuffled the cards again and dealt us three each. He now had a straight flush and was very happy. I turned my cards very slowly because I was afraid. But I had a higher straight flush, and he was very angry. I can't win prunes in here. You know, it seems that our sovereign God is the one who stacks the deck in our favor. Matter of fact, all of his promises say that. All of his promises are for victory for us, for deliverance for us, for healing for us. And, of course, we're promised to enter his kingdom through much tribulation from the wicked. That we're promised that, but we're always also given these promises to go through it, to see who's really going to be a believer, right? So he angrily said, "We're going to play one more hand, and the winner will decide the loser's fate." He shuffled the cards and passed out the three. He had a queen, a jack, and a ten of diamonds. And I closed my eyes and flipped my cards. And someone said, "Thank you, Lord. I got an ace, a king, and a queen of hearts. We win." This reminds me of a guy that fell into faction several times. And he came back telling me one time, he told the factious people when he repented one time that if it would have been of God, we would have won. But since we lost, it wasn't of God. But he didn't lose. He didn't remember that. He didn't keep that little saying in mind. It was true. So David slammed his hands down on the table and pointed his finger at him and said, "Out of your own mouth," meaning you spoke your own judgment. They laid the trap and fell into it themselves, as God told us would happen many times. God's in control of this whole thing. He's into training us. He's into sanctifying us as a body, which means cleaning out the tares, right? Gathering them in bundles, which has been happening. And of course, the wheat stands forth in the kingdom of the Father, shining in the sun, right? It all serves the Lord. The field serves the Lord. He's the one that plants the crop. He knows what it needs. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's not going to fail. And then I woke up. Merlin got for this dream by faith at random, Job 15 and 6. Now, what's the chances? You think there's any such thing as chances? You don't know about the sovereign God. But she got Job 15 and 6. Thine own mouth condemneth thee, and not I. Yea, thine own lips testify against thee. You know what the faction's been saying that they're going to do to us is being done to them. Matthew 7 and 2 says, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. God's word is not going to be broken. They can ignore it, and they do ignore if it doesn't line up with their desires. But it's going to come to pass. And Sandy got for this dream by faith at random, Daniel 8:17. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was affrighted and fell upon my face. But he said unto me, understand, O son of man, for the vision belongeth to the time of the end. And here we are. And in this previous verse, the end time vision was explained. That's 8 and 14. And he said unto me, unto 2,300 evenings and mornings, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Oh, praise God. That's just like the previous dream, right? Cleaning the houses, cleaning the sanctuary. Then the reward comes, right? But that's not all. After this text that she got, then the text goes on to show that the beast kingdoms were broken up. The beast kingdoms that came against God's people were all broken up. Yes, they were broken up by one another. Pretty neat, huh? Now, Sandy wondered if this dream and this next one that we're going to share were connected. I believe they are definitely connected. So let me share that with you. And we called it A Brother Warns from the Dead. In this small dream, a man we knew who was killed by the faction and now is dead and knows it, touched my right arm. And he said, Sandy, I want you to know to watch your back. You understand what I'm saying? That this man, when he was deceived by them, died. We were given several words that because this man had a problem with forgiving people. And when we would show it to him, me and Michael and whoever, we'd show it to him, he'd repent, he'd turn, he'd get right. A couple of times he was on the verge of death for not forgiving people. And he repented and he'd get right. When the faction came and deceived this man, he had nothing in him but unforgiveness and other things. And he died shortly thereafter. We were told at least three times that he was going to die because of this murder that they did to him spiritually. And he did. He died. Well, he touched my right arm. And he said, Sandy, I want you to know, watch your back. And then I woke up. Now, Sandy is a dreamer. And the faction pray against the dreamers to try to stop the truth from getting out. We have been revealed to us by the Lord. They try to stop the people putting the videos up. They try to stop the people working on the books. They hate the gospel. They tore down the site, which is now being recreated even better. So are the videos. They hated the gospel. And so they pray against those who are speaking the truth in dreams. And they attempt, by their witchcraft, to take them down. But whenever we see what's happening, we always come against it, and we always win. So this man appearing from the dead, this is not a literal thing, and it doesn't speak of one coming to us from the dead, but the dream is from the Lord to remind us that what they have done through their witchcraft, and to guard against it. And of course, this man now knows that there are evil backstabbing ways and how they destroyed him. Another brother, this came to us just days ago, another brother just died after this one above. They dumped slander and faction and witchcraft demons on these men. And all of this is unforgiveness, which took away their benefits, right? We can't afford to give up our benefits in the midst of the war. Because they were not forgiven by God, and this brings you, of course, under the curse, because God is our only deliverance from the curse. Jesus died. He's our sacrifice. But you have no sacrifice for willful disobedience, and they are the most willfully disobedient I know. So these two men both died. And this last one, that's very recent, he lost his memory. As soon as they dumped on him, he started losing his memory. They diagnosed him as having Alzheimer's. Suddenly came upon him. He was bright. He had no problems with his memory before. And then he started drinking and smoking dope and became delusional, so that they put him in a home and he died. Yeah. They told me that he was walking around with a gun. He got rid of guns sometime before this, so he evidently got him back, walking around with a gun saying he was going to kill David. It was strictly the demons in him. I had never had anything but good relations with this man before they did this. So you see, these people know the wickedness of their ex-comrades. I received for this dream by faith at random, Acts 2:27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul unto Hades, neither wilt thou give thy Holy One to see corruption. Wow. Isn't that awesome? you hear a few of these and you begin to believe in a sovereign God, right? Who stacks the deck any way he wants to stack it. Well, this next one was given to Sandy on the 7th of this September 2019. We called it, "They Tried to Shut Up the Dreamers with Witchcraft." She said, "In a dream, I was in the large hallway of a house. I don't know who the people were, but it sure was chaotic. Some men, we know as the faction, pushed me into a room and locked the door. This room was large, like a dance hall. The door was very old. It had a glass knob, as you could see the keyhole. The floor was a wide plank of wooden floor. There was a huge area rug in the middle with a fireplace and an old chair in the corner of the room. When they threw me in there, I looked around the room, and there were two more doors. I went to them, but they were locked. I sat down in the chair and said, "Lord, why am I here?" And I could still hear the noise and the chaos in the other room. I was trying to recognize a voice which said, "What are you doing? Where are you taking me?" I went to the door and knocked. I said, "Eve? Eve?" And they opened up the door and threw Eve in. Two dreamers, right? Who've been reading their mail. I asked Eve, "Do you know these people?" She said, "No. Do you?" I said, "No." She started walking to the other doors, but they were locked. And she said, "What do we do now?" I keep asking the Lord, "Why are we here?" She said, "Well, let's keep praying until the Lord shows us something." Well, let me say that the Lord showed us before that the faction has attempted by witchcraft to shut up our dreamers. Notice that these two and one more below are all dreamers that ended up in this room. But God gave them the jackpot of valuable dreams, and many are yet to come. Well, we'll explain that. We'll let the dream itself explain that. While we were praying, I kept seeing something shining in the middle of the floor. I walked to it and bent down. It looked like a coin. The hole was smaller than the coin, so I put my two fingers into the hole to try to make it big enough. So Eve helped me, and we were able to get the coin out. It was a silver dollar. But then there was another one. The hole was big enough now so I could pull my whole hand in. I could put my whole hand in, excuse me. So I pulled out a fistful of silver dollars. Now me and Eve are giggling because it was never ending. There was a whole pile. Something came to me when I read this. The silver coins that factious Judas threw on the floor as the price for his treachery against the Lord and his disciples is given to the dreamers here. What the Judases stole was returned with the greatest interest. Eve was told years ago by the Lord to give 300 silver coins, which she and her family needed at that time, but the Lord said, "Do it," so she obeyed, to a man to give out to the poor brethren, a man that was over here. At that time, she didn't live here, but it was a man that was over here. Well, instead of giving it out to the brethren, he gave a couple of crumbs out, and then he kept the rest for himself, as God knew that he would. That's why he set this trap for this guy, to prove he was a Judas. You know, 30 silver coins, now it's 300 silver coins, yeah. So God, in Eve's last dream, returned what the faction stole. And here it is, with God's overflowing interest. And the dreams given are proof that their witchcraft to try to stop the dreamers failed. And suddenly Merlene came through the right door and was standing near us and said, "So what are you guys doing?" And Eve said, "How did you get in here?" right there through that right door. Me and Eve looked at each other and said, but it was locked. But we know that prayer has no bounds, right? Nothing can stop it. I said, we need something to put these in. And we're still not finished, meaning not finished pulling them out from under the carpet here, you know. And Merlene said, I have a pillowcase in my pocket. Wow, just happen to have one, huh? That happens in dreams, huh? So we used it and started putting the coins in it. And this is, like I said, the jackpot of rewards, right? And when we finished filling the pillowcase, there were exactly 10,000 silver dollars. Orlean said, now, what can we do? He said, me and Sandy will stay here, and Merlene, you go through the right door and go get David. And Merlene left, and I woke up. And I received this verse by faith at random. Romans 4:16. For this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed. See, so you don't have to be bigger, stronger, smarter, you know. You just need to have faith. And even a child can have faith, right? And, of course, faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and God's reward is for a life of faith, right? So that the promise may be sure to all of the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee. Before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. Wow. Well, here's another one. Another victorious revelation here. We called it, the enemies are dismayed. It was given to Eve Brast on the 12th of this September 2019. I dreamed that I was taking my two younger sons, Elijah and Josiah, to their first day of high school. Well, this is possible in the natural, but it also probably is a spiritual revelation. We can see here the bride. We can see here Elijah the prophet. We can see here Josiah the reformer. It's like three different groups of people here, you know. All of these, by the way, are hated by the apostate church, right? All of them were. All of them persecuted by the apostates and still are. You know what? You know how to know hatred? It's when someone who disagrees with you gets furiously mad. And they don't just go away like natural. No, they stand around and chew on your ankle. They never leave. They just keep on. This is a demonic manifestation, you see. Anyway, the high school campus looked more like our college campus, and it looked like it had been built around the turn of the 20th century. Well, our school is exceedingly old, isn't it? And that's the one we've got to get back to, is our old schooling, the original education that was passed on to us. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son and in the Father, right? There's only one way to abide in the benefits of the kingdom and the salvation of Christ and mature in the salvation of Christ, and that's for the original curriculum to be given to you, right? So Josiah was 10 years old in this dream, and Elijah was 12 years old, yet they were going to high school. Well, amen. We lined up in a long hallway with many other middle school age children and waited for our curriculums to be passed out. All the children were excitedly talking amongst themselves as a short man with dirty blonde hair, who was balding, came and called our attention to himself as he announced that he was going to pass out our curriculums now. And I believe this represents the false apostate leadership. He held a royal blue bag with many curriculum packets that were each wrapped in clear plastic packages. He came down the hall gladly passing out the curriculums to each child, but when his eyes fell upon me and my sons, he got a look of disgust and disdain on his face and curled his lip up at us. He then passed us by and continued handing out the curriculums to all the rest in the hallway. And acting as if we were unimportant and didn't exist to him. I knew it was very important that me and my sons had a curriculum. So I went up and tapped him on the shoulder and politely asked if he would give us a curriculum. But he ignored me and kept on moving down the hallway. I was discouraged and frustrated and worried because this man had a little authority over the curriculums and was abusing that authority by discriminating against us. Sometimes it's a blessing. You know, some of the curriculums that are being handed out there, you don't need, you know. In this case, this was to show a different property, you know, and we'll see it. But, yeah, it's good. I know a lot of people go to Bible college and wish they hadn't. And having to overcome all that stuff later, if they were honest. And they abuse their authority with this curriculum, right? And it looked as if he was going to succeed at keeping us out of the school. So I went and sat down against the wall of the hallway with my boys, feeling helpless and defeated, and prayed to the Father to show us a sign for good, that our enemies may see it and be dismayed. Psalm 86 and 17. Show me a token for good, that they who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. So these are the signs that are coming for the bride. Amen. Lord, show us a token for good, that they who hate us may see it and be put to shame. Amen. Suddenly, a tall man who was a higher authority in the school, and I'm thinking that this school is in general Christianity, okay? A higher authority in the school stood at the end of the hallway holding three very special gifts or awards for me and my sons. He called everyone's attention to himself and announced that me and my sons were the recipients of these very special gifts or awards. Because they were very special people. Oh my. And Eve said, I asked her to pray and see what the Lord showed her about these gifts. And she said, the three larger gifts that were the first gifts represented a very powerful and balanced walk, able to attain higher heights like what the Bible describes as hinds feet on high places. Amen. Amen. Gifts. The Lord is going to hand out gifts to the bride and her children. Praise God. And, you know, the people with their snoot in the air are going to find out that God doesn't approve the ones that they thought. He will approve those who are hated. Amen. It's been that way throughout history. If they hated me, they will hate you. If everybody loves you and I'm okay, you're okay, and you're in with the in crowd, you're in the wrong crowd. Everyone in the hallway was stunned in silence and awestruck at us. It was like we were finally revealed to everyone for who we really were. Yeah, with all the slander and garbage going around by the wicked, yeah, the Lord is going to show if we endure the trial of our faith, trusting in Him, being like a Job, for instance, you know, that when we endure to the end, what did he do with Job? What did he say to his friends, so-called, his factious friends? So you didn't speak the truth of me like Job did. Now you go get him to pray for you. Yeah. So everything was turned around for Job. He was greatly blessed materially and spiritually, and he prayed for his friends. In the dream, I knew that we were different from the others, but I was shocked by how this man saw us and what he said concerning us. I hadn't realized how special we were to the administration, quote unquote. You know, sometimes we don't hear from the administration. Sometimes we just hear from the underlings, right? And they're not always right, are they? Well, if you go back in the history of the Bible, you can see that the underlings always mistreated what? The bride, the reformers, the prophets. And then they mistreated Jesus, and then they mistreated all of his disciples. Whose side do you want to be on? If you're on the persecuted, hated side, you're on the right side. My boys and I were so happy to have these gifts. It was like the best gift in the whole world. And all the other children were crowding around to marvel at us and these gifts we had received from the administrators. Then another tall man appeared at the end of the hall with three smaller gifts for me and my boys that were baby blue in color. This man was even greater in authority than the other man who had given us the first gifts. My belief is that this is the Father and the first man was Jesus. He also made an announcement to everyone that he had three gifts to bestow upon us also. He too declared us to be very special and deserving of these awards. He said, even though these gifts are smaller, they are greater than the first ones and the ultimate reward. Okay, so again, Eve prayed, and she got this. The three smaller gifts that were baby blue and greater than the first gifts represent new superpowers from the Holy Spirit of God to heal and deliver his people from the bondage of the curse. All right, we need that, don't we? This morning we got a bunch of verses about signs and wonders and miracles done to deliver people. And yeah, we thought about this too, because the Lord's going to do it through a bunch of people. And she said, it represents the man-child anointing and the epiphany of Christ in his first fruits body. Amen. They did not represent tangible things, but the greater gifts, anointing, that the first fruits will receive in order to turn God's people back to him and help them in the wilderness tribulation to come. And of course, I believe the tangible gifts will also be forthcoming. Yes. Everyone was just so shocked that we had received both of these gift and rewards. Some of the children said, it's not fair. They get everything. And others just loved and admired us now that they saw how special we were. Yeah. My boys were so happy and saying that these gifts were what they had been wanting their whole lives, as we all clutched them close to our hearts. Suddenly, the weaselly man who had looked down upon us with such disgust and disdain came up to my left shoulder and leaned forward to speak in my ear. And he said, I'm so sorry for the way I treated you and your sons. I'll get you those curriculums now. He was sweating bullets. He knew that he was going to be in so much trouble for what he had done and the way he had abused his power and treated us so poorly. Yes, and we know who's doing that. I said, no, it's okay. I'll go and get them directly from the administration office. He was very worried at this point. And as I walked out of the building and headed over to the administration building, and then I woke up. Yes. So she said, I asked Father for a word by faith at random for this dream, and my finger was on, get this, the enemy are come to an end. There, yes, the enemy are come to an end. In Psalm 9 and 6, in context 1 through 20, I will give thanks unto the Lord with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. Amen, folks. You know, all the good news we're hearing, the good things that are coming, it's great. And we give thanks unto the Lord. We praise his holy name. We thank him for the victory that he's given us over our enemies. I will be glad and exalt in thee. I will sing praise to thy name. Amen. We will do it, won't we? Amen. Praise the Lord with us, saints. O thou most high, when mine enemies turn back, they stumble and perish at thy presence. Well, he turned back, went back down the hall, didn't he? For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in the throne judging righteously. You see, we're going to know who was right here directly, very quickly. Because as I say, everything is going to be turned around. Thou hast rebuked the nations. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. A judgment is coming, saints. God can direct it any way he so wishes. he killed the firstborn of Egypt. The firstborn is the flesh, right? Yeah. He killed the flesh of Egypt. And he was able to do that in every house. That's pretty particular now. Thou hast blotted out their name forever and ever. The enemy are come to an end. That's where she had her finger, right there. They are desolate forever. And the cities which thou hast overthrown, the very remembrance of them is perished. Reminds you of the Korah rebellion. How that they were swallowed up by the earth. No more a problem to God's people. No more was his people led astray in the very opposite direction from which they should have gone. But the Lord sitteth as king forever. He is the Lord. He does his will. He gives mercy. He always has mercy, even upon the wicked. He gives them time to repent. He always does that. And then, if they don't listen, he whets his sword, the Bible says. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. He will judge the world in righteousness. Well, just think. You've seen a world ruled by the wicked. A whole government, which was spread out over the whole world, was judging unrighteously and had their judges in office making illegal laws and had their false prophets, the mainstream media up there, all pushing for them. And yet, God Almighty has proven himself to be God Almighty. And guess what? There's a parallel. Mm-hmm. And it's going to happen in the church too. Who's going to follow the man-child into the wilderness when they've got these wicked people leading them and they're pledging allegiance to their silly kingdom and people and idols and nation, unless God does something? Well, this is exactly what he's telling us he's going to do. He will minister judgment to the peoples in uprightness. Lord also will be a high tower for the oppressed. So he's a high tower. The righteous run in and are set on high, the Bible says. A high tower in the times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Sing praises to the Lord, who dwelleth in Zion. See, this is something that's going to be proven. The Lord dwelleth in Zion. Where is the power? You know, Jesus, as I've shared with you before, my friend Bolivar, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Zion. Dwelling in Zion is abiding in the Lord. The Holy of Holies was in the midst of Zion, where God dwelt. That's Jesus. He's the ark. And inside is his God and our God. So sing praises to the Lord who dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. You know, that's what hallelujah means. It means to brag on God. Brag on what he has done. Not what you see with your eyes, but what he says he has done in the word. This is what turns things around. You know, the Lord has given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise hurt us. Take that, for instance, and declare among the people his doings. Tell them about the great things that the Lord has done. And what he's done for you, yes, of course, be a witness or a testimony, but also what he has done for all of us if we will just believe, right? For he that maketh inquisition for blood, in other words, he's going to find out who is guilty of blood here, remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the poor. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Behold my affliction, which I suffer of them that hate me. There it is. All of the righteous suffer at the hands of the wicked. And let me say, the wicked also suffer at their own hands. They destroy their families. They destroy their children. They destroy husband and wife. They scatter marriages. They are destroyers, and they are destroyed. Because whatsoever man soweth, so shall he reap. Thou that liftest me up from the gates of death. That I may show forth all thy praise. In the gates of the daughter of Zion will I rejoice in thy salvation. You know, I think the daughter of Zion is the offspring of the old biblical Zion in our day. The Lord showed me that. I'm not saying in the letter, I'm just saying in the spirit, you know. The daughter of Zion is the Zion he's raising up in our day. The latest fruit of Zion, right? I will rejoice in thy salvation. The nations are sunk down in the pit that they made. Which they hid is their own foot taken. So when they hid their trap, the Lord used it to catch them. The Lord hath made himself known. He hath executed judgment. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. There it is again. Can't be broken. The Word of God cannot be broken. We're about to find out who was the wicked. Those who get the rewards from the Lord, or those who get the rewards for their evil works. Hegeon, Selah, 17, the wicked shall be turned back unto Sheol, even all the nations that forget God. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. No, he leaves them in the hands of the wicked for a crucifixion for a short time. Nor the expectation of the poor perish forever. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the nations be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord. Let the nations know themselves to be but men. Amen. People say, or they think, or they act as though God does not exist, that he's not looking on, and that he doesn't ultimately reward what they do. So you remember Psalm 86 and 17. Show me a token for good, that they who hate me may see it and be put to shame. Because thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. So, he put this in here. The rest of Psalm 86, 1 through 17. So, here's a good prayer. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and answer me. For I am poor and needy. Sounds very similar to the one we just read. Preserve my soul, for I am godly. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Can you say this with your heart? Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for unto thee do I cry all the day long. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and abundant in loving kindness unto all them that call upon thee. You know, there's been, we hear quite a bit from you folks, and we know what's going on here too sometimes. And so we know that the enemy has been attacking God's people with condemnation, with putting thoughts in their mind and then condemning them for the thoughts that they put in their mind. The demons are doing this. And, of course, the witchcraft people, they're sending their witchcraft out. Listen, witchcraft has been sent against this government. Listen, have you seen that the Satanists have gathered together around the world three times to curse Trump? And I don't think he's got a nick on him. You know what? The same thing is happening in the church. The wicked, the evil, are trying hard to put their curse on the David Man-Child Company, trying to devour them, but failing miserably. All they're doing is making them stronger and stronger and stronger. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and hearken unto the voice of my supplications. Amen. What is the cure for condemnation that's put on you by the devil? People that get anxious and stressed. The cure is justification by faith. You don't need to waste a lot of time with condemnation. You don't even need to listen to it. Listen, here's a simple cure. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Wow, is that simple? Yeah. And then what do you do? Then you can be justified by faith. You can believe what the Bible says. You can behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and be transformed into that same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Now, you can't do that without faith. And if you got condemnation, you don't have faith. So as soon as condemnation comes, you need to give it the boot. And if there's any truth to what's said, it doesn't really matter. If there's any truth to it, go to the Lord, confess your sin, and believe in your heart that he took it away from you and nailed it on the cross. And you don't have it anymore. Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Let not sin reign, therefore, in your mortal bodies. See, there's only one method. You got to reckon yourself to be dead. Why? Because the very same text in Romans 6 says you are crucified with Christ. And you don't live either. Galatians. We were crucified with Christ and we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. Okay, and does Jesus have any trouble with these wicked people? First of all, you got to see yourself as Jesus. You're looking in the mirror and you're seeing Jesus. You're seeing Jesus. He's not a sinner. He already took away your sin, and you're not one either. He already took it away, he nailed it on the cross, and he gave you his life. This is called reconciliation. It's an exchange. It means an exchange. He gave you his life. So now, since he gave you his life, you look in the mirror and you see him. And you see him by faith. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. You're giving God the substance. So reckon yourself to be dead in sin, but alive unto God. And like Paul says, no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. See, the sacrifice has been done. You were crucified with Christ. You don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. The good confession in the sight of many witnesses is just that. You want to put the devil on the trail? Well, you just slam him in with the Word of God, just like Jesus did. Even if you are failing, there is only one way to not fail. What did he say? Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin. On the grounds of what? That Jesus took away your sin and nailed it to the cross. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin and alive unto God. Reckon, that means consider it done. And then it says, let not sin therefore reign in thy mortal body. In other words, in doing this, you will not let sin reign. You will conquer the sin. This is how faith works. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. And it was a were. It happened at the cross. So, when you call upon the Lord, believe that he answers. Didn't he say that? All things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. You believe that he answers. This is the fight of the faith. If you get torn down every time the devil puts a thought in your mind and then accuses you for it, well, you're not being very biblical or very smart, right? We need to overcome. So he says, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Yes, he will. He will answer you. Remember Eve crying out to God when she was hated and disdained by this foolish character, and how the Lord proved his favor for her and for her children? Yeah. For thou wilt answer me. That's a good confession too. There is none like unto thee among the gods, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord. To thee every knee shall bow. Right? And they shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. And thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Good prayers here. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. This is not confidence of self here. This is confidence in God. Because he says, unite my heart to fear thy name. Yes, what do we need but a united heart? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And we're told to think not that that man is going to receive anything from the Lord, right? So unite our heart, O Lord, to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. Amen. With my whole heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy loving kindness toward me. And thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest Sheol, a place of the dead, right? O God, the proud are risen up against me. They always do. And a company of violent men have sought after my soul. They always do. nothing new under the sun, right? And have not set thee before them. They never do. How many times is the same story throughout history? But thou, O Lord, art a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thy handmaid. Amen. Ask the Lord for strength. When you think you're weighted down, mostly because of the things you think that come into your mind, that's why the devil sends those things, is to make you feel hopeless and weighted down, kind of like Eve felt when she couldn't get the curriculum from that character, right? Hopeless and weighted down, heavy. Call upon the Lord for His strength, right? And He will give it. He will save the son of thy handmaid. And show me a token for good. Yes, Lord, we call upon You today to give us strength and to show us a token for good. That they who hate me may see it and be put to shame, because Thou, Lord, hast helped me and comforted me. Amen. And so it will be, as the Word of God says. Saints, we got to take our authority. We haven't been acting like sons and daughters of God, but we've been given dominion over the forces of darkness, and we don't act like it. We don't act like we believe it sometimes. But we need to start exercising our authority. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men take it by force. Remember what happened in Revelation 12. Just after the dragon had sought to, but failed to, devour the man-child, the angels of God, who were acting in behalf of the saints of God, who loved not their life unto death, but held a strong testimony and believed that the blood of the Lamb had delivered them from sin, the angels of God worked in their behalf to cast down Satan and his army of demons to the earth. Now, casting them down is not a light thing. It's talking about the loss of dominion. Just as when the man-child was caught up to the throne, it talked about a gain of dominion. Do you remember when this happened in the book of Esther? Haman and his group lost their dominion. They persecuted and they hated the people of God. And when the bride interceded to the King of Kings at that time, he heard. He took down Haman, and he gave dominion and authority to Esther and Mordecai, which means little man. That's the man, child, and the bride. He gave dominion over them. And they, in turn, turned to the people of God and gave them dominion over their enemies. They gave them dominion over their enemies. And they went out and slaughtered the enemy. You see, a lot of God's people don't know they've got any dominion. And more than that, they don't know that the devil's losing his. And how is he losing his? because of their testimony, their confession, right? Because they believed that the blood washed them clean. They believed it. And so the angels fought for them because of their faith. Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith. As you have believed, so shall it be unto you." If you believe what the devil speaks, you will be cast down. He will take away your dominion. You will lose it. The people of God were fearful when they heard the decree that Haman had put forth against them. They were fearful and cast down. But the bride interceded, and because of her beauty, she was heard. Beauty, you know, translates into holiness and righteousness and purity to the King of Kings. And because of that, he heard her, and he gave dominion to the people of God. He gave her dominion to give to the people of God. So, if you listen to what the devil said, it's always going to cast. If you're cast down, what did you do? You listened to what the devil said. See, let's just follow this back to where it came from. If you're cast down, if you're fearful, if you're troubled, what happened? You listened to what the devil said. Now, if you listen to what God says, you're going to be listening to what we just read here, you know, that God is going to destroy his enemies. When does he start? Well, when you begin to believe it and speak it and stand upon it. What you bound on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. The Lord has given you dominion through your faith in the promises of God. You and I need to speak that. In his hearing, in the hearing of the devil, in the hearing of the men around us. We need to boldly proclaim what's been given unto us. We've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. That means you have a right to exercise authority over any power that the enemy has. And when we do this, he's going to lose. He has to bluff you into thinking he has power. Or he has power because of your sins. Neither are true. Because you can deal with your sins. Anybody that will repent, turn to the Lord, confess their sins to him, believe he's nailed them to the cross, should pick up their sword and their shield and their helmet and go to war immediately. You don't have to sit around and listen to that stuff and get trashed and fall all apart. Father, we ask that any that are convicted out there that they've been doing this, that you would fill them with your faith, Lord, that you would give them a desire to be in your word, Father, to be filled up with your word, Father. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. So we ask you, Lord, to put the word in their hearts or bring to remembrance the things that you have said to your people, Lord, and to help them to understand that we've been given the same dominion that Jesus gave. He said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. The Father sent him with dominion, and he sent us with dominion. And he said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Now go out there and take down the devil. Well, Revelation 12, they took him down. And even when Jesus sent out his disciples in that day to heal the sick, to raise the dead, cast out devils, and they came back, he said, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. They cast him down. They were destroying his dominion. And now we've got to take seriously the dominion that God has given to us over this earth and not be lackadaisical about it. It's a violent warfare. No, not in the physical, but in the spiritual, it is a violent warfare. You have to demand your rights. The Lord spoke it, and you believe him, and you're accounted righteous because of your faith. And if you don't have any faith in what the Lord has said, you're not accounted righteous. We need to be accounted or imputed righteousness so that we can fight this battle. You can't have faith without that. You can't have the benefits of the kingdom without that. So don't lose that. No matter how much you have failed in the past, don't lose justification by faith. So, Lord, we're putting our trust in you that you will fill your people in these days with bold faith that will go forth and do exploits in your name, mighty signs and wonders and miracles, just like the Lord Jesus did when he was in that first body. And now he's coming to do it in this body, right? Father, we thank you that the body of Christ will show forth the glory of Christ because he lives in them. We ask you, Lord, yes, for that epiphany, this shining forth from the saints of the glory of God, that people would look on and see and say, kind of what Jesus said. Jesus was doing signs and wonders and miracles in the very foolish people of God were saying, oh, he does this because the prince of demons, he has the prince of demons, Beelzebub. He said the people of the world have more sense than you people. And it's true. When the people of the world see signs and wonders and miracles, they immediately think God. But the Pharisees try to blame that on the devil. We heard from a brother this morning who was talking about a girl who healed her eyes, gave her back her eyes. And she went to a church, and they told her the devil did that. As soon as they convinced her that the devil healed her eyes, Satan casting out Satan, right? As soon as they did that, she lost her sight. And they don't remember that she ever got it back. So, as Jesus warned us, as you have believed, so shall it be unto you. If you believe the devil's condemnation and that you're such a sinner, he won't listen to you anymore, you've lost the battle. And it's kind of stupid because so many people before you have gone through the same thing and ultimately overcame it. They had to, or then they wouldn't have lasted. You know, he's tried it on everybody. Some people catch on quicker than others. Well, the sooner the better. Because some battles, when you lose, it's the last time you'll lose. Well, Father, we ask you for grace and mercy poured out upon your people, Lord. Grace and mercy. Lord, we claim Jesus lives in us. Jesus has all power and authority over the enemy. Jesus is not overcome by sin. Jesus is not a failure. He lives in us. We trust in him. We believe in you, Father. We thank you that Jesus is rising up in us in that epiphany even now and doing his wonderful works around us so that people will see and know the truth. And that they will be led to Zion, which is the true leadership. Not apostate Zion, but born again Zion. The true leadership that God has. Father, we thank you for doing this for us. We ask you to continue to send your signs and wonders. Lord, thank you for giving the wonderful dreams and visions. We've been deluged with them, and I haven't even had time to read some of them, but they're just all so wonderful about what you're saying, Lord, about these days and what you're going to do for your people, how you're going to defend your people, how they should have faith, and how you've already given them the victory, and how that the enemy are come to an end. When do the enemy come to an end? When the people of God know it. He said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. What is the problem? The problem is, we know it with our mind, but we need to know it with experience, right? Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy towards us. Thank you for giving us victory. Thank you for hearing all of our prayers, just as some of the texts that we read here. All of our prayers. Lord, you are a wonderful, a mighty Savior, and you don't deserve us. And we don't deserve you. And Lord, we just ask you to rise up in this dirt, these vessels of clay, and do something with it. In the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the absolute total victory you've given us over the enemy at the cross. Our old man was crucified there. The life of Christ was given to us. Everything that Esther needed to go out of the house of the women to the house of the king was given to her. Everything that she needed was given to her. It's all been given to us, saints. It's all been given to us. Lord, we praise you. It's been done. And you even told us, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received. It's past tense. Received them, and you shall have them. It's already been done. All of it's already. So anything we pray for, we're to believe we've received it. And we will have it. Meaning, it's already been done. Your power is made perfect in weakness, Lord. We shouldn't look at ourselves when we think about the goals ahead, the enemies that stand against us. Lord, we should never think on these things because it has nothing to do with us and our ability or our wisdom. It has to do with you acting on our behalf because of our faith. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for moving mightily for your people, in the name of Jesus, Father. Thank you. In these days, defend the righteous. Lord, when this plague goes forth across this land, and the sword, etc., etc., and the burnings and all these things, Lord, we ask you to defend your people, especially even those who are ignorant because they are innocent. We ask you to defend them, Lord. Save them for a later day when they have time to learn about the dominion that you have given to your children. Over sin, over the devil, over the curse, over their flesh. Lord, the dominion that you have given is complete. So, Lord, we ask you to save those we've been praying for from these things that are coming upon the world. Save them. Save our children. Save husbands and wives that are ignorant and lack faith. Save them, Lord. Hear our prayers, Lord. We thank you for the mighty miracles you're doing to deliver them from evil. We thank you, Lord, that you're hearing all of our prayers. And Lord, we ask you to do supernatural signs and wonders to show those that we've prayed for, who you are and your glory and the mighty things that you will do to save your people. That there is nothing or no one who is against them that can be victorious. That you have been given, you have given your grace and delivered us out of the power of the hands of our enemies. And this you called us, you called redemption in Luke chapter 1. We were redeemed out of their hands. We've been given the victory over them, and we can serve you without fear all the days of our life because you have given us victory over our enemies. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Well, all right, saints, God bless you. Keep you. The Lord be with you and keep you. And we'll do this again sometime. Good night.